Amen. Amen. Today is Wednesday, June 15th, 2011. Tonight's message is brought to you by my sister-in-law. Evidently, she had taken her son to a service. I don't know if it was a service or a lesson or, you know, a Sunday school or what, but tonight's subject was talked about, and she called me and was asking me questions. And I thought, well, you know, that's interesting. So I'm going to do a study, and we're going to talk about it at a Wednesday night service so that we may have a greater understanding. The subject was the Godhead. Now, does anybody know what that is? Ethan? Father, Son, Holy Spirit. It's the Trinity. The Holy Trinity is what it's called. The word says in John, 1 John 5:7, for there are three that bear record in heaven, the Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost. And these three are one. Now, before we go any further, obviously we know who the Father is. But this verse from the King James Version of Scripture says the Word. And a lot of people may get confused by that because it doesn't say Christ. It doesn't say Jesus. It says the Word. Okay? And the Holy Ghost. Well, we know who he is. But I want you also to have understanding what the Word was and who the Word was. Okay? The Word represents Christ. In Scripture, in John, the Gospel of John, chapter 1, verse 14, the Word says, okay, the Bible says, and the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. We know that there was only one that was God that came in the flesh. That was Christ. So this scripture, this verse tells us the Word was made flesh. That indicates to us that it was Christ, Jesus Christ. So in 1 John 5:7, when scripture says the Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost, these three are one, it's referring to the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Okay? Just so you have understanding. Now, the Bible proclaims that there is only one God. In Deuteronomy 6:4, the word says, hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. There's one God who has revealed himself. There's one God who has revealed himself to mankind in three distinct persons. Three persons. God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. Okay? It gets confusing. It gets confusing. Because how can you say that there's three, but yet there's only one? And this was the question that was presented before me. How can you say that there's three, but there's only one? We don't worship multiple gods. Okay? We are not pagan. We worship the Holy Trinity, which is Father, Son, Holy Spirit. They are one. The three together make up the God, what is known as the Godhead. Okay? Keep in mind that Scripture says, in the beginning, John 1:1 says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. There again, that's a reference to Jesus Christ, because the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. You see how that goes together? Okay. Even though the term Trinity is not found in Scripture, Godhead is. It's found in three different places. Romans 1:19-20 says, because that which may be known of God is manifest in them, for God hath showed it unto them. For the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, So they are without excuse. Okay? That's the first place. Now, like I said, this doesn't mean that we worship three gods. As mentioned in Deuteronomy, the scripture that I read, 6:4, our Lord, our God, is one Lord. He doesn't exist in three different persons. He did reveal himself in three different ways: God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. He revealed himself in three different ways, but he's still one. All three are one. Okay? The second place where Godhead is mentioned is in Colossians 2:9. The word says, "For in him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily." I'm sorry, I skipped one. Acts 17:29. For as much then as we are the offspring of God, we ought not to think that the Godhead is like unto gold or silver or stone, graven by art and man's device. So there's the three references to that actual word Godhead, and it's capitalized in every instance. Okay? These three scriptures, Romans, Acts, and Colossians, all reference the Godhead. However, if we had no other scripture to base our belief on that all three are one, if the only scripture that we had was 1 John 5:7, that would be enough, because it clearly states that the Father, the Son, or the Word, and the Holy Ghost are one. That scripture alone should be enough for us to believe in. We believe in the entire book. We don't take things out. We don't put things in. We don't add things. We don't leave scripture out. We believe in the entire book as it is the Word of God. So you can't take anything out of it. You have to take it for what it is. It's in black and white. You can't deny the Word. You can't deny what it says. So because of that, we look at the entire Word. Okay? Now let me get into this a little bit deeper for you, because I want you to have understanding. Obviously, Christ was sent. He was manifest in the flesh. So he's one that we relate to very easily. We know that he was sent. He was the only Son of God, and he was sent. There are plenty references in Scripture, which I didn't pull out and bring with me tonight, where Christ is referred to as God. Okay? Plenty of Scripture in the New Testament that says that. God the Father, we also have knowledge of him. We know that he was the creator. We know that all things return back to him. We know of him. Where we know that he is God. It's told many times. Where I had a difficulty and what I looked into a little further was the Holy Spirit and how that is referred to and how that can be compared to God. Let's keep in mind what the Word says in Genesis 1:26. Okay? The Word says, or Scripture says, "And God said, let us make man in our image." You're talking about creation. This is the sixth day. Man was created on the sixth day. Okay? You're talking about the first 7 days of existence, how God created the light. We all know all these scriptures. Okay? God said in Genesis chapter 1, very first chapter of the book, verse 26, "Let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the fowl of the air, over the cattle and over the earth, and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth." Let us make man in our own image. Okay? Who was God talking to? Was he going, "Hey, self, let's do this"? Okay, self. Did God really actually refer to himself in the third person, as a lot of people do? Like, if I was standing, you know, referring to yourself in the third person is when you call yourself by your name and not say me or I. Like, Brenda's on the pulpit preaching. Brenda thinks she wants a drink. I think Brenda will get a drink. That's talking in the third person, which is really stupid because actually you could just say, I need a drink and get one. But instead you refer to yourself by name. The fact that the word says, let us make man in our image gives reference to more than one person. That is the first example in Scripture of the Godhead, of the Holy Trinity. And a lot of people go back to that as an example. Okay? The scriptures that I pulled out that help us have understanding with the Holy Spirit, there are two. Matthew 28:19, this is Christ speaking to the disciples. He said, go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. That statement by Christ puts the Holy Spirit on the same level as God the Father and God the Son. It puts the Holy Spirit on the same level and shows us that the Holy Spirit is God as well. Because why didn't he say baptized in the name of the Father, the Son, and of John the Baptist? Okay, well, John the Baptist wasn't God. He wasn't a God. Okay? So because of that, with that reference, Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost, that gives indication that the Holy Spirit is also part of the Lord. The other reference that I pulled out was John 14, verses 16 through 17 and verses 26, where Christ talks to the disciples and tells them that he will send a comforter. And I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter, that he may abide with you forever, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him, but ye know him, for he dwelleth in you and shall be in you. In verse 17, the word Spirit is capitalized. That gives indication of a title. God is going to send the Spirit to be a comforter. That's also indication that the Holy Spirit is part of the Lord, is part of the Godhead. Okay? Verse 26 says, but the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance, whatsoever I have said unto you. He will teach you all things, the Holy Ghost. Generally, we don't think of the Holy Ghost or the Holy Spirit as a person form. We generally think of it as something that dwells within us. But it is meant to be a comfort to us. So that gives you reference to the Holy Spirit and how the Holy Spirit is also a part of God. So I hope you understand all those things. Now, it's difficult, if not impossible, to explain what the word person means, bless you, as applied to the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Okay? We are accustomed to think of persons as an individual human being. We know that three persons cannot be one being, right? The persons of the Godhead are clearly distinguished from one another in many passages in Scripture, yet they cannot be separated. The truth is beyond complete understanding to our finite minds. Our minds are too small to comprehend the possibility that God is one, that the three are one. Okay, we can say it, we can say we believe it, but it's beyond our understanding. It's beyond our comprehension to understand how it can be. Okay? No illustration of the Trinity will suffice to explain this relationship. But we can get some help by trying to express the relationship mathematically. Okay? Men would ordinarily say of the persons, 1 plus 1 plus 1 equals 3. Correct? No, I'm not done. 1 plus 1 plus 1 equals 3. 1, 2, 3. 1 plus 1 plus 1 equals 3. How can you say that God consists of three persons and still only be one? Well, the way that you can say that is it would be more accurate to say 1 times 1 times 1 times 1 equals 1. You don't add them, okay? You multiply them. For each of the persons is fully God in the absolute sense, and the three together are one in the same God. Okay? That's how you get to that understanding with our human brains. It's not 1 plus 1 plus 1, it's 1 times 1 times 1 times 1. A million ones. Okay? That's how we get to that. It is not possible for me to explain this truth fully. I could stand up here all night. I can keep telling you things over and over again. But it is necessary to know and to state clearly what the Bible actually says. Throughout Scripture, throughout the gospel message, it's plain. It's spoken of many times. Christ refers to the Holy Spirit as being sent from God, being a part of the Father. God sent His one and only begotten Son. He became flesh. He was the Word. The Word was with God. The Word came and dwelt among us. Okay? There's all these references. And then you go back to God the Father, who dwelt among the people in the form of a cloud, a pillar by night and a pillar by day and a pillar of cloud by day and a pillar of fire by night, is how God was represented. Remember, God the Father is not man. He made us in His image. But only Christ came and took on flesh. Okay? Throughout the Scriptures, it's spoken of. The gospel message is plain. God the Father sent His Son to redeem fallen man. The Son willingly came to die for the sins of the world, and the Holy Spirit convicts us of our sins. We're regenerated within our hearts by the Word of God, which He inspired, and takes all things of Christ and shows them unto us who love Him. It's all relative. It's a big circle. 1 Timothy 3:16 says, "And without controversy, great is the message of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh, justified in the spirit, seen of angels, preached unto the Gentiles, and believed on in the world, received up into glory." The mystery of godliness is great. We cannot comprehend it. Our human brains can't have complete and full understanding. It's difficult to explain how one individual can exist in three persons. No, it's not a split personality. We're not talking Sybil here. Some Bible teachers use the fact that a human is composed of body, soul, and spirit. But they are still one, not three. Okay? This is not a good example of God. It's just not. But I can tell you that there is only one thing that we can do that helps us understand and gives us an explanation of the the Trinity, the Holy Trinity. There's only one thing complete that explains it. Does anybody have an idea what that is? Faith. Our faith believes what human intellect cannot explain. What's faith, right? The belief that something exists, but the lack of evidence to prove it. I can't remember the exact scripture, but the way it was worded, I was paraphrasing. But it's belief without proof is basically what faith is. The absence of things not seen. Okay? Faith. Our faith is what allows us to continue to trust in God, to know that they are one and the same. They are three, Father, Son, Holy Spirit. I've heard it said before, how can you, it's actually a song, how can you wish for and hope to go to a home, a place that you call home, that you've never seen or never been to? That's what a Christian does. We have hope that one day Lord will call us home, right? We've never seen it. Not that we can remember. Not with our human minds. We've been there in the spirit. Right? That's because of our faith. My final thought to you is, one thing that we must remember is God is God. We don't have to figure out how he is. We don't have to figure out how to describe him. To those that believe, no explanation is necessary. To those who believe not, no explanation is possible. But it is in the Word. It is scriptural, it's biblical, and it's spoken of that the three are one and that there is only one God. Amen. That's the message for tonight. Does anybody have any thoughts, anything to add, any questions? All righty. If all hearts and minds are clear, then we can stand for dismissal.